Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us as we broadcast from New York City today. Wow, we've got a lot going on. Of course, the breaking news coming out of Washington just a little while ago about Hunter Biden. We're going to get to that. Want to say a very special thank you to our friends at WABC Radio here in New York City, the Big Apple. What a great radio station. And they have opened up their doors to us, rolled out the red carpet, and we're just so happy to be working here in the city for the next couple of days. And the reason why is because I'm also hosting the 4 o'clock hour on Newsmax television. So later today, I'll be heading over and you'll be able to watch us 4 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We're going to have an action-packed show, folks. Senator Marsha Blackburn and Governor Mike Huckabee will be on to react to the news coming out of Washington with the Hunter Biden scandal and the announcement coming from the Justice Department. Now, we're also going to be taking your phone calls. Write down our telephone number. Do you believe justice has been served here in this case? Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. So here's what information we can tell you. And the New York Times, and let me just preface all of this by telling you that the drive-by media is completely downplaying this story. As a matter of fact, the New York Slimes, the very top of the page, the headline, is that Hunter Biden pleads to misdemeanor charges. Folks, there's a whole lot more going on here, and we're going to get into it. You by the end of this conversation, will understand what's really happening in Washington, D.C. So Hunter Biden pled guilty to two misdemeanor counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax. That's what's going on here. He also agreed to enter a pretrial diversion agreement regarding a separate charge of possessing a firearm by a person who is either an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. So at face value here, this is just nothing. I mean, it's not even a slap on the wrist. I mean, if it's a slap on the wrist, it's a slap with a noodle or a fish. One of those fish that have already been descaled. So you're not, it's like nothing. But there's more to this. We're not talking about failing to pay income tax on what, $100,000 a year. We're not talking about failing to pay a federal income tax on it. $150,000? Mr. Biden, you owe us $3.25. No, that's not it. Hunter Biden failed to pay taxes in 2017 and 2018 on an annual income of $1.5 million. That's a lot of cash. And my question is, where did he get it? I mean, this is a guy who got booted out of the Navy because he was doing drugs, and he gets booted out of the Navy, and he walks right into this sweetheart gig on the board of directors at Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. How did that happen? Wasn't anybody over at the Justice Department just curious about how a guy snorting cocaine ends up making millions of dollars? I mean, why isn't Hunter Biden out there doing some sort of an infomercial? I mean, here's a guy. This is a rags-to-riches story. Something really criminal is going on here, and the Justice Department is turning a blind eye to it. By the way, those crimes of the tax, and this is basically tax evasion. He failed to pay his taxes. That's a year in jail and thousands of dollars in fines. But there's also something else going on here. It's the gun charge that gets me. So Hunter Biden had no right to have that gun. No right whatsoever. And what's fascinating about it, that particular charge comes with a very hefty price. According to the federal government, having a gun in your possession, and by the way, the charge is that he lied on the forms to get the gun. That's going to land you up to 10 years in a federal prison. That's a felony charge. So for the New York Times to sort of gloss over all of that, well, that shows you who they are. But ladies and gentlemen, what you are looking at in real time is something that President Donald John Trump predicted just a few weeks ago. And President Trump predicted on his social media platform that he said, you watch, there is going to be some sort of a sweetheart deal worked out. And it's all going to be bogus. And they're going to use that to say, see, we're going after the Democrats just like we're going after Trump. Don't buy into it, folks. Do not buy into this. What you are looking at is a double standard. It is the D.C. dirty double standard. One set of rules governing the Democrats, another set of rules governing the rest of us. If it had been anybody else, I can promise you this, we would all be in jail. By the way, where was the perp walk? Where was the pre-dawn guns-drawn raid at Hunter Biden's house, dragging him out in front of the CNN cameras? Why didn't that happen? Where's the mugshot? Where's the fingerprints? Where is all of that? You know that would have happened had it been a Republican, and we've seen this, and we know this, because we have a track record from Roger Stone on down. It's a double standard. That's what it is. Look at what happened with the pro-life leaders. How many times have we seen over the past 6 months where pro-life leaders have been asleep in their homes, these law-abiding, peaceful people? Their only crime is defending the unborn. All of a sudden, there's not even a knock on the door. You got the FBI barging in, guns drawn with these raids, hauling these pro-life leaders out into the front yards of their homes, only to have the charges either dismissed or they're found not guilty. What about the moms and dads? Their crime, showing up at a school board meeting and complaining because their kids are being shown gay sex pornography. And the next thing you know, there's a knock on their front door. You got the FBI there demanding to know X, Y, and Z. Why are you out there complaining about your local school board? It goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. What about the FBI and you folks listening to us on WRVA, our great affiliate in Richmond, Virginia? You've got FBI agents who infiltrated local Catholic church, the local Catholic churches, and the FBI is spying on you Catholics out there. One set of rules governing the ruling class, another set for the rest of us. That's what's going on here, folks. But there are still a lot of questions here. And I'm still curious. How does a guy, seriously, just think about this for a moment. Just think logically about this. How does a guy who was thrown out of the Navy for doing drugs find employment on the board of directors of a major energy company? How does that happen? And by the way, what about the $5 million in bribes that he and the big guy pocketed? What about that? What about the big guy's personal company? Back in 2017, they reported revenue of $10 million. Where did that money come from? Nobody knows. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I'm curious. Where did Joe Biden all of a sudden get $10 million in 2017? It smells like fried rice to me. Maybe a little Mugu Gai Pan. Maybe a little China money there. Big guy. Is that where it came from? You open up the fortune cookie and there's a quarter of $1 million cash hidden inside. Not to mention, by the way, all of the sordid and perverted allegations documented in the diary belonging to the big guy's daughter. And it's the lunch hour. I'm not going to get into that nonsense. But just how extensive is the Biden crime syndicate's tentacles? These are the questions that demand an answer. And unless a Republican takes control of the White House, and by Republican, I mean Donald John Trump, I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of any of this. There needs to be a special prosecutor appointed to root out all of this. But one thing is clear. One thing is clear, ladies and gentlemen. I can see it as far as I can see down 3rd Avenue here in New York City at the beautiful palatial studios of WABC. We now live in a police state, where the ruling class jails its political enemies and its cultural enemies while they turn a blind eye to the criminal enterprise of its own. That's what's going on here. I mean, just look, Hillary Clinton destroyed classified emails with the hammer, bleach bit, thousands of them, thousands. Joe Biden, how many classified documents did they eventually find at his home, at his office in D.C., at the other home, the beach house in Delaware, in Chinatown? Both of them should be doing hard time at the federal pen right now, but they're not. Meanwhile, they're going after President Trump, who again, and yes, I watched the Bret Baier interview last night, but again, the argument here, and I think it's a very simple argument. Does the President of the United States have the authority to declassify documents? Yes or no? And according to the American Bar Association, the President of the United States has that authority. So if that question, that is the only question in my mind, looking at everything that has that they have accused this president of doing, it goes back to one very simple question. And I know this is hard for Bret Baier and Brett Hume and all the political pundits out there in so-called conservative Inc., conservative incorporated, to get their large brains. Actually, they've got big heads and tiny brains wrapped around. But it's a very simple question. And if the president is in fact allowed to declassify whatever he wants to declassify, they got no case here. None whatsoever. But if they determine otherwise, well, that's a different story. But right now, according to the Constitution, according to the American Bar Association, which is a far left-leaning organization, the president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, has a right to declassify whatever the heck he wants to declassify. That's it. No case. Meanwhile, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they get to burn down cities. They get to pillage and plunder your local Walmart. Nobody gets arrested. Nobody goes to jail. There is no justice. Again, remember what David Plouffe said. Trump has to be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not be allowed to rise again. Understand where we are right now. Just understand this. President Trump could literally spend the rest of his life in jail. And what is the crime? The crime is not about the classified documents. The crime is beating Hillary Clinton. That's the crime. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden is a free man today, ladies and gentlemen, cleared by the feds. And I suspect any moment now he will strip naked, smoke crack cocaine, and cavort with hookers. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. We're going to have reaction from Capitol Hill, Kevin McCarthy speaking out. We also want to hear from you. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I have been on this weight loss journey for a couple of weeks now, and I have to tell you, it is going really good. I've been taking Calitrin, and not only have I been losing weight, but I'm also getting a much better sleep at night. And get this, my knees, not so creaky anymore. And Elizabeth, I know this is absolutely no surprise to you.
That's right. You know, Calitrin's been proven safe, healthy, and effective since 1997. So you're talking about America's number one choice for healthy weight loss. It's different than everything else out there on the market because it really is good for you. Drug-free, stimulant-free, and it's going to help you lose the inches and the pounds for good. I personally lost 40 pounds with this product several years ago, and now I just use it for maintenance. And I know anybody can do it. It's safe, it's easy, and it's on our website right now, toploss.com. That's toploss.com, or call us 1-833-TOP-LOSS.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. We're on the road, people, broadcasting from New York City. I have some things to tell you about that in just a moment. But first, I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's start in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jordan hanging out with us, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Hey, Jordan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, my friend, how you do? Hey, how you doing today?
All right, Jordan, let's get to it. What's on your mind?
All right. Okay, this is what I've been decided. I'm like, why don't we just leave this corrupt America? I mean, why don't we just leave, give it to them, let them have it? It's corrupt. I mean, they're doing the child trafficking, the gay stuff. I mean,
well, Jordan, where would we go? I mean, if we let them have the country, where would we go?
That's the question right there. That's the question. We need to find us somewhere and let them have it. I mean, I'm ashamed to be called an American. I'm very ashamed to be called an American.
Jordan, you don't need to be. No. You don't need to be ashamed to be called an American. I think we can be proud of our country, but we can certainly be angry at our leadership and angry at our elected officials who put us in this position. But there's no reason to be ashamed to be an American. And Jordan, honestly, I think we have to fight for our country. We have got to root out this evil. We have a shadow government operating here in the deep state, and it is called bureaucrats. These are people, and Jordan, thanks for the call. These are people who are out there, and ladies and gentlemen, they are not elected. They are appointed to these positions, and they stay there for the rest of their lives, and the rot has been there for decades. And until we start rooting out this rot and cleaning out the rot, we will look, this is hard work. And this is why they hate Donald Trump, because he was being very effective at cleaning out the stink, right? The stink of the swamp. That's why they wanted him out. And that's why they targeted President Trump, because he was being very effective. And when you talk about the Uniparty manifests itself in the bureaucracy, right? So you've got just as many Republicans working in jobs for 20, 30 years in our nation's government, and they have become just as liberal as the left has. So we gotta root out all of that stuff. That's why they hate Trump, because he was doing that. But we've got, look, folks, I'm telling you, Trump gets in another 4 years, and he makes that his mission, I think that he will single-handedly save the country. Because right now, the person you elect is not running the country. I mean, let's get real here. Joe Biden, have you seen, like, the big bugs? We have these big bugs, and then they shed their skin, and you just had, like, the shell left. You know what I'm talking about? They're big old bugs. That's Joe Biden is like the shell left behind. It's like the husk. There's nothing else there. I mean, it's not Joe Biden's fault. He's just an old man. He's not running things. You've got the deep state running things. And you can call it whatever you want to call it, deep state, the bureaucrats, the shadow government. That's what's going on here. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls again live from New York City, broadcasting from WABC. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are broadcasting from New York City, WABC Today. We'll be back in Memphis next week. By the way, this weekend I'll be in Washington. I'll be delivering an address to folks gathered at the Road to the Majority Conference here at the Washington Hilton. President Trump will be addressing the gathering Saturday night. So if you're there in Washington, drop by and would love to say hello and greet you in person. And, of course, later today, 4 o'clock Eastern, I'll be anchoring the 4 o'clock show on the Chris Salcedo Show over on Newsmax. I want to play real quick some audio. This is from Speaker Kevin McCarthy just mere moments ago, his reaction to the Hunter Biden plea deal.
The Hunter Biden plea deal and your reaction.
My first reaction is it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you are the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. If you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal. Now, this does nothing to our investigation. It actually should enhance our investigation because the DOJ should not be able to withhold any information now, saying that because of pending investigation, they should be able to provide Chairman Comer with any information that he requires.
All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us Congressman Ben Klein. Congressman, your reaction to this news coming out just moments ago about Hunter.
Well, great to be with you. And it is clear that what they're doing here is trying to wrap this up, tie it with a bow. And then, you know, anytime the administration is going to be asked about it, they're going to say, oh, that's in the past. That's all done. We're looking forward. We're not focusing on that right now. But the speaker made an excellent point. Now that they have closed the book on this, they can't limit what they give to the committee, especially Comer's committee. And so we ought to be able to get a lot more information concerning these issues. It is definitely a disappointment when you look at the different approaches that the Justice Department is taking, one to the son of the boss of the DOJ, the president, the other to the former president who is running and is the primary opponent to the sitting president. And so it's definitely disconcerting, but we're going to continue our investigations here on the Hill.
I know the media is trying to downplay all of this, but we're talking about some significant charges here. I mean, it wasn't like he was failing to pay his taxes. He owed about $100,000. We're talking about he failed to pay income tax on $1.5 million 2 years consecutively. And then this gun charge, if he had been found guilty of that we're talking 10 years in federal prison.
Yeah, exactly. And from my understanding, the facts surrounding the gun charge are pretty clear, pretty cut and dry. And when you're filling out a form and you have to state with certainty whether or not, you've been involved in drug activity or when you discard a firearm just recklessly. These types of issues generally are treated very, very seriously.
Congressman, it just seems to me that we are looking at a double standard here when you see how the left has treated and how the Biden administration, rather, has treated a lot of these other cases. For example, and again, going back to the Justice Department and the weaponization of the Justice Department, they're going after Trump, but they're giving all these other people, it looks like, a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, you hit it right when you said weaponization. You know, this the left has weaponized every corner of the federal government to go after conservatives, to push a woke agenda, and the FBI is no exception. So we in the Judiciary Committee are committed to getting to making transparent all of the different areas of weaponization and ensuring that we can root out in the Appropriations Committee and otherwise all of the different areas where they've created new agencies or weaponized existing agencies. I've got a bill in to eliminate the Federal Insurance Office because it was created under Dodd-Frank, really had no purpose for many years, but now it's been weaponized to pursue a climate agenda and try and enforce a climate agenda on all these insurance carriers. So it needs to go. But it's just one example of the weaponization of government.
Congressman, do you imagine that we're ever going to see these people brought to justice? I mean, there is so much crime alleged surrounding the president and his family. Is it possible that we're gonna see justice here?
Well, it's clear that with this Department of Justice and this Attorney General, they will not be pursuing the liberals who are committing the crimes, if investigating the Biden family and pursuing justice on that end. You're going to have a change in the administration. And so while Congress doesn't have law enforcement authorities, we have investigatory authorities. We'll be continuing to bring to light all of the different areas in which, whether it's the woke and weaponized government or the Biden crime family business, you know, all the different areas where there's wrongdoing, that Congress will continue to pursue transparency and shine a light on all the wrongdoing.
Because, you know, I mean, let's get real here, Congressman. Had this been just a regular Joe Blow citizen and they lied on a gun application or they didn't pay their taxes, their butts would be in jail right now.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it is important to remember that the sign above the Supreme Court says equal justice under the law, not weaponized justice against your political opponents. You know, we have a responsibility to ensure that justice stays blind, that blindfold stays on, and that justice doesn't, you know, peek under the blindfold to see who she's pursuing and that she's, you know, misused for a political agenda.
Congressman, we appreciate you coming on the program today. I know it's a crazy day up on Capitol Hill, but we appreciate your good words. And I think the Republicans in the House just have to double down on their efforts now to get to the bottom of all of these scandals. And I think the people, the voters, are going to have to demand justice here.
Absolutely. They demand it, and we bring their concerns and their anger, really, to Washington and fight for them each and every day, and we'll continue to do that.
All right. Congressman Ben Klein, we appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. There you go. By the way, White House is responding. We've got a statement coming on that. The president says that they love their son. And that's about the extent of what they had to say. The president and first lady love their son, support him as he continues to rebuild his life. We will have no further comment. But this is, I believe that NBC News got it right. I mean, this is a victory for Hunter Biden. He got out of this. And maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised that this is what happened. I want to read to you President Trump weighing in. He says the corrupt Biden DOJ just cleared up hundreds of years of criminal liability by giving Hunter Biden a mere traffic ticket. Our system is broken. And it's true. as the congressman said, Lady Liberty is peeking under that, under the kerchief, peeking under the blindfold, taking a look to see who's there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phone lines. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Your calls coming up next.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Let's get to it. Let's go to Oregon. Katie hanging out with us on radio station KYKN. Hey, Katie, what's on your mind today?
Nope, it's Kathy.
Kathy, I'm sorry. Kathy, go ahead. What's on your mind today?
All right. Since all this information was on the laptop, does that mean that the laptop actually is real, or are they going to keep saying, that's fake? Somebody put that on there.
You know, that's a great question. And the argument from Congressman Klein is that this really helps out the Republicans because this does, in fact, legitimize every single thing that was on the laptop, from smoke and crack to getting naked with the prostitutes, the whole nine yards. And apparently there's a lot of other stuff on there. And again, these are just allegations. But there's some pretty nasty stuff that Hunter was up to, allegedly.
I know. But it's not fake now, is it?
No, it is not fake, ma'am. No, ma'am, it is not fake.
Have a good day.
Kathy, appreciate that call. Let's go to Maryland. Victor on the line. Hi, Victor. What's on your mind today?
Okay. One of my trucker friends told me a couple of things that the Republicans better act on immediately. Number one, you have a congresswoman from the Virgin Islands, Stacy Pluckett or Bucket or whatever, and she said that someone needs to shoot Trump. Stop! You know, like she immediately said stop, you know, instead of shot. But it's too late now. The cat's out of the bag on that one.
Yeah, Victor, hold on. Victor, hold on. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. You're talking about the Democrat delegate from the Virgin Islands. Clearly, Hunter hasn't been there. Her name, Stacy Plaskett. And, she said exactly what you said, and you described it accurately. She said that Trump needs to be shot, and then she stopped and said he needs to be stopped.
Right. Also, second thing is, you heard about that raid at a gun store in Montana? The FBI, no, not the FBI, I mean IRS,
ATF,
raided the store. They weren't interested in grabbing the guns and the ammo. No, they wanted the records of everyone who purchased a gun from that store so they can go to the individuals and take their guns away from them.
That's the only reason that the IRS and the ATF were there, and that will be happening in other places around the country. This is why we've got to make sure that these IRS agents are not replenished. We need to pull all the funding. I don't know what the Republicans are waiting on with the funding, Victor, but Yeah, exactly. Victor, appreciate that call. And Victor raises a good point. And our good friend, Congressman Matt Rosendale, who, by the way, I believe is going to be on the last hour of the program today, is going to be talking about that. He is enraged. As a matter of fact, he brought this to the nation's attention. The IRS and the ATF, and again, armed IRS agents showing up at this law-abiding gun owner's business there in Montana, and they staged a raid. And Victor is absolutely correct. All they wanted were the names and the addresses of the people who had purchased guns there. So you can figure out what that was all about. But I'm telling you right now, folks, you need to pay very close attention to this story. Now, this happened in Great Falls, Montana. And if it can happen in Great Falls, Montana, you better believe it can happen in your neighborhood, in your community. Yeah, the name of the gun shop, Highwood Creek Outfitters. They sell guns. They have an indoor firing range. And, of course, the ATF is not commenting. Neither is the IRS. My question is, why is the IRS showing up at these places? What's up with that? So pay very close attention. By the way, this also happened. You folks in Georgia, this past March, the ATF shut down a gun store in Cobb County, Georgia. And as the congressman said, there really doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to why they are shutting down these gun stores. So it's really an unfortunate situation that's happening. And we got to wake up. We've got to pay attention to what's happening out there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, you heard Congressman Klein just a few moments ago on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile, by the way, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they're out there fighting for you every single day. What do I mean by that? Well, it's very simple. Instead of taking your money and investing it in companies that are far left-leaning, Patriot Mobile gets involved in the fight for freedom. And they're very involved in the fight to restore conservatives to school boards all over America. And they've been very effective. As a matter of fact, during the midterm elections this past cycle, a number of the national news organizations actually credited Patriot Mobile with helping to raise up an army of voters. And I think that is just incredibly tremendous. But that aside, you know, the big question is, all right, do they have good cell coverage? And they do. They use the same towers the other guys use, and they have great discounts. If you use my name, Todd, they're going to give you free premier activation. If you're a veteran and or a first responder, they're going to give you a discount. Now, all the information is at patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And again, use my name, Todd, and they will hook you up with all those deals. A lot of the questions you might have, they will be able to answer there on the website. All right, coming up, we've got another hour. And let me explain what's happening here, because we're doing things just a little different since we're in New York. The last hour of the show, all this week, we are going to have a special guest host for the last hour. Harry Hurley is going to be the guest today. Jeff Stein, rather, did a fine job yesterday. And the reason we're doing that is because we have to scoot over to Newsmax headquarters to get ready for the show later today. Just bear with us. You're going to have a lot of fun. Harry's going to be taking your calls in the last hour of the program today. And then we'll be back to the normal schedule coming up next week. But the only alternative was to be off the air for a week. And I can't be away from you guys that long. I don't know. It's sort of like you guys are like an addiction, right? So I get really shaky and sweaty if I don't get to hang out with you guys at least 5 days a week. So anyway, bear with us as we go through all of that. Coming up on the program tonight, or 4 o'clock today, Governor Mike Huckabee is going to be here. And, of course, our good friend Senator Marsha Blackburn weighing in on what's happening with the Hunter Biden scandal. And hear me on this, folks. This is a big deal. this is a really big deal. We are watching the weaponization of our government before our very eyes, and all of us should be alarmed at that. Even the Democrats, quite frankly, because look, once the government is weaponized, and we're not talking about regular old school yellow dog Democrats. We're talking about radically progressive Democrats that are now controlling a lot of our nation's infrastructure, and they want all of us destroyed. You love America? They don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat. They don't care. They want to take you out. And that's what this is all about. So hang tight. We're going to get through it together. And you know why? Because we have a great big microphone. A huge, huge microphone, as President Trump might say. All right, stick around, folks. Hour two coming up, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Take us through what we know about how this deal came together.
Well, Andrea, this case has been investigated, as you said, for 5 years by the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in Delaware, David Weiss, who agreed to stay on and continue the investigation and has operated as a de facto special counsel, really independent from the political appointees who run the Justice Department, including Merrick Garland, who's in, I believe, overseas right now, so very far away from this announcement today. And what they've announced here is a plea deal where Hunter Biden is admitting to crimes. He's admitting to willfully failing to pay his taxes in 2017 and 2018, but they're misdemeanors, and they carry a maximum penalty of 12 months each in prison. But under this arrangement, Mr. Biden would not get prison time. He'd be sentenced to probation, assuming the judge goes along. And then there's this other gun charge where he filled out a form failing to say that he was addicted to drugs at the time. That technically is a felony. He will enter a diversion program. That won't be on his record. So in a sense, you could see this as a significant victory for Hunter Biden because, look, he paid back what we believe is more than $1 million in a tax bill last year. The documents don't specify exactly how much taxes he owed, but as part of a significant federal investigation that also looked into whether he was violating the law by representing foreign companies or governments. You know, NBC News reported that he was paid millions of dollars, some $13 million from Ukrainian and Chinese business interests. At the end of the day, investigators did not find criminal wrongdoing in any of that, at least according to this presentation today. And Hunter Biden's lawyers are saying that from their perspective, that means this case against him is resolved. Now, we do have this puzzling line in the U.S. attorney's news release that says the investigation is ongoing, but that could mean a lot of different things. It's hard to imagine it still means that there's an investigation into Hunter Biden when he's agreeing to plead guilty to these charges.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That from NBC News saying that what just happened is a victory for Hunter Biden, and he's off the hook. He's done nothing wrong. That's it. He will not face any jail time, and he will enter some sort of a pretrial diversion, and that is it. Again, illustrating a double standard when it comes to justice in the United States of America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We are in New York City today, broadcasting from WABC Radio. Later this afternoon, I'll be hosting the 4 o'clock hour on Newsmax, and I would encourage you to join us then. Governor Mike Huckabee and Senator Marsha Blackburn will be my guest over on the TV side. But we're following some other stories, and we're going to get to your calls about Hunter Biden. By the way, our number, 844-747-8868. But we are following some other stories, and one of them involves an organization called Promise Keepers, and they are holding big rallies all over America. You folks listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, will be telling you more about the rally coming to the Mid-South. But they've been hosting these rallies, these events. They were scheduled to host an event at Belmont University, which is a Christian school in Nashville. But the event was canceled by the university, and we want to find out why. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Ken Harrison, who is the chairman and CEO of Promise Keepers. Ken, good to have you with us today.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here.
All right, Ken. Well, I want you to explain to our listeners what happened. What were you guys going to do at Belmont, and what happened?
Well, we've got this series of events coming up called Daring Faith, an evening with Promise Keepers. So Belmont College invited us down to tour their new Fisher Center that had been paid for by Christians. And we signed a contract. They put us up on their website getting ready to sell tickets. And suddenly, just out of the blue, we got this email that said that due to recent information, their values didn't align with our values. And so they were going to cancel the event. And so talked to a vice president from the school last week and said, What's going on? How in the world do Promise Keepers values not align with a Christian college? And she said it was because of the pride statement that we had put out in June 1st. And it basically, if you've seen it, it very lovingly lays out the basic ordinances of Scripture on the issue. And one of the things that Promise Keepers does is we help men understand, how do I address these issues with my family, my kids, my wife, my employees? And so we just laid it out with Scripture very clearly, and they said that we found to be not acceptable to our school, so we're canceling you against the signed contract. So I said to her, gee, I hate to have confrontation and conflict within the body of Christ. Work with us. Let's come up with a statement co-jointly so we can be brothers and sisters in Christ and just say, how can we do this together? And she was very happy with the conversation and said they'd get back to us. And then after that, they just stonewalled us. So we finally had to come out with a statement and say, look, we were getting barraged with phone calls because we were supposed to start selling tickets. What happened? What's going on? So we finally had to tell the world what happened.
Ken, I'm shocked here. Maybe I shouldn't be. Belmont used to be affiliated with the Tennessee Baptist Convention, very conservative. Then they parted ways. They broke off. They identified then as just a Christian university. Now they identify as a Christ-centered university, and they're hiring non-Christian faculty. They've got a Muslim Student Association on campus, which, by the way, they apologized because apparently people were trying to evangelize the Muslims on campus, and so they apologized for that in April. And we also understand that they are very tolerant of the whole rainbow movement there.
And, you know, Todd, this isn't really just about Belmont. This is about the entire movement in Christian schools all over the country who, on the one hand, they represent themselves to be Christ-centered. If you go to Belmont's homepage, you got Jesus all over there and training people for Jesus. And then on the left hand, they completely deny Scripture. But this is happening in Christian schools everywhere because they're very forefront with the Jesus part of it because that's where their donors are. You know, their donors are 60, 70-year-old people of wealth who went to some of these schools and have warm feelings and think they're still teaching that. On the other hand, they're saying completely different things to their students. That's one of the reasons why we as a board of Promise Keepers decided we have to take this issue and make a big deal of it because this isn't our thing. We're here to train men and to get men to, you know, in masculinity, biblical masculinity, not to pick fights with Christian schools. But we have got to get people to stand by truth. Again, our tour is called A Daring Faith. So we're not going to back down from a fight. You have to pick your fights carefully. I have no problem with Belmont. I have a problem with the entire idea of Christian schools compromising with the world so that they can be, on the one hand, teaching our students stuff that we would never approve of, and on the other hand, come to us raising money for something that is a lie.
I hear where you're coming from with that particular side of it. I think, you know, lawyers would approach it from a very different angle. I think they would have concerns that a binding contract was broken here. And I'm curious about that part of it. I mean, clearly you guys have to be out money. Are you guys still doing something in the Nashville area?
Yeah, so I'll be clear. I told them, we're at $10,000 to $15,000. We also have mud on our face for something we didn't cause. We have a binding contract. If I was still running Colliers International, I would sue you and destroy you. I told the school that. But I'm running Promise Keepers, so we will not. The world doesn't need to see Christians suing Christians, but we have been damaged by this. I let them know this is on you, completely on you. And they said thank you, and they went away and hid. So...
Wow. This is just, and you're right. We've reached out. I know other news organizations have reached out. Belmont's not saying anything about this.
No. Well, they're hoping, look, what works is you just stay silent. People get all outraged, and then a week later it goes away. This is not going to be the case here. And again, this is not about Belmont. This is about an entire movement. There's a lot of Christian schools just like this. People need to know who the good schools are. Liberty University, great school. Colorado Christian. Arizona Christian, by the way, reached out to us yesterday and said, we read the article, we want to let you know we do stand with you, we do have the same values, and we'd love for you to come here. So as people start looking at where they want to give money, I think they really need to inform them, or where they want to send their kids. There are some great Christian schools out there. There are some other ones that are not portraying themselves with honesty, and it need to be very careful about that. Biola University, great school. Azusa Pacific, not a great school. People need to know where they're sending their kids and their checks.
Yeah, you're right about that. And just because, and this goes to the high school level as well, just because the school says Christian doesn't necessarily mean they're following the teachings of the Bible, Ken. And I think you're right. We've got to do our due diligence here as, you know, as we look at these Christian schools. I'll also say Truett McConnell University in Georgia, West Coast Baptist College out in California, excellent schools as well. So you can't go wrong there. Ken, real quick, you mentioned that you're doing these events all over the country. Where can guys get information about the upcoming Promise Keepers events?
Well, thanks for doing that. By the way, I'm going to be tuning in at your show with Huckabee and Marsha Blackburn. I can't wait to see that. The website, promisekeepers.org, the app, we're really encouraging men to get on the app. It is excellent. It is a way to connect with other men around Christ, get great teaching. Right now, we're scheduled to be in Memphis, Houston, and New York City. New York City is going to be a huge event on December 1st. It'll be simulcast around the world. The last event we had 1.5 million people around the world watch it live. You know, it's ironic because I had said yesterday when I was talking to somebody, we were at Dallas Cowboys Stadium 2 years ago. No problem. Welcomed us with open arms. So apparently our values align more with Dallas Cowboys Stadium than they do with a Christian college. This is the fight that we're in, Todd. We've got to wake people up. This is why we're doing the tour. It's called Daring Faith for a reason. The whole point of this is, on the one hand, we need men to stand up and start being counted and being bold in Christ. You have a call on your life. Go fulfill it. Number two, you can't do it alone. You need to do it with other brothers in Christ. You need to have friends. You need to be discipled, and that starts in the church. And so those are the two messages of this. And so I would really encourage people in Memphis, Houston, New York, get on, get tickets. I think they just went for sale on all three of those. We will be in about 20 more locations in 2024.
Well, there are three great cities, and I know, especially my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, we're gonna pack the place out. We've got to do something to change the direction of this country, and I think that's going to happen when men of God rise up and take a stand and fight this culture head on. And by that, I mean, you know, not physically fighting. This is a spiritual warfare that we're facing, Ken. And I think if we're able to do that, if we we are able to be those godly men out there on the front lines fighting this culture war, we're going to win the day.
That's right. That is, isn't that the message of Scripture, 3,000 years of history?
It is. All right, Kim, we got to run for a break here. I really appreciate the great work you guys are doing. Hang in there, and we look forward to seeing you in Memphis, Tennessee, coming up very soon.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, Ken Harrison, everybody, heads up Promise Keepers, chairman and CEO. And this is just unbelievable. You have a responsibility here, folks, listeners of the Todd Stearns program, to call Belmont University and ask them why they canceled Promise Keepers. And then I want you to call us and tell – they're not talking to us. So give us a call back and let us know what they say. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Again, this is a story you are hearing exclusively on the Todd Stearns radio program. We've got to stand alongside Promise Keepers. They're doing some very important work for the country. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, our buddy Paul says, Todd, of course Hunter had to take drugs and cavort. How else is he supposed to celebrate such a good fortune? I guess so. But still, Paul, does it really bother you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a double standard here? That your justice system has been weaponized? I mean, the entire federal government's been weaponized. You got the IRS going out there and demanding that gun store owners hand over the emails and contact information of all their customers. I mean, this is insane. Just insane. By the way, coming up a little bit later, we're going to get into this conversation about Casey DeSantis. She is coming under fierce attack from the left, and we told you this was going to happen. Let me explain the background here on the Casey DeSantis story. You've got all these DeSantis endorsers and influencers, and many of them have been paid to influence and endorse on behalf of Governor DeSantis. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's how they want to spend their money, that they are happy to do that, and they are free to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. But they actually thought that Casey DeSantis would be elevated to some sort of Jackie Kennedy position. Because, first of all, she is incredibly beautiful. She is incredibly intelligent. She has had a successful career in broadcasting. And she has raised three beautiful children, is raising three beautiful children. And she has survived a horrible incident with cancer. And she is a glamorous person. And I don't care who you are in the Republican Party. Those are the facts. And so now she's coming under attack by all of these magazines and people saying that she's a hideous person. They're attacking her looks. They're attacking her fashion. I mean, it's horrible. It's exactly what they did to Laura Bush. It's what they did to Melania Trump. And it's what they're now doing to Casey DeSantis. And people in that circle, the DeSantis world, seem to be shocked by all of this. And I don't know why they're shocked. I mean, they're literally, this is where, look, society has elevated Michelle Obama as the epitome of a perfect woman, for God's sakes. And now they're shocked when these same people are looking at someone like Melania Trump and Casey DeSantis as being ugly women. Yeah, I know they're blind, but still, geez, Lou, you're really shocked by all of this? You shouldn't be shocked by all of this. But I will say this, and we're going to get into more of this a little bit later on. We're coming up on a break here. But I believe that the most beautiful women in America, and we'll say in the world, are conservative women. They are beautiful. They are more intelligent. They are more resourceful. I think they make better moms. I think they cook better. Just go down the list. I just think the most beautiful women in the world are conservative women. And you know why? Because they're confident in themselves. And you see, they look beautiful on the outside because they are beautiful on the inside. And that's why, gentlemen, agree or disagree. Ladies, you could agree or disagree too if you want to. Any ladies who disagree, come on. In all seriousness, though, I mean, and by the way, the left, they can't even tell you what a woman is. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I asked Caleb Park, our managing editor. He is with me on the trip to New York City. I said, Caleb, can you grab me a cup of coffee? You know, they had this beautiful palatial break room here at WABC here in New York City. And, of course, the owner, John Castamatidis, is one of the great grocery store magnates in America. So they've got, like, a cereal bar. They have, if you want soup, they have what the Progresso soup. They have the soup, giant cans, not the little miniature cans. And you have not just you have peanut butter crackers, but they have them the cheese crackers. Very delicious. And they have coffee, but they don't have community coffee. And so anyway, I go in there and I say, Caleb, can you grab me some coffee? And I don't know what this coffee is, but it smells like a Vienna sausage. I don't know. He brought it in here. I'm like, wow, do they have Vienna sausages out there? That's very Southern of them, but they don't. It's the coffee. It's apparently Starbucks. And that reminds me, and there's a point to all of this. So last night, I was thirsty. I was doing a walk in Central Park, and I was thirsty, and I came back, and they have a Duane Reade drugstore, which is kind of like Walgreens. It's very nice part of town. I walk in, and I go over to the place where they have the coolers in the back where they have the Gatorade, and I go to open it up. And by golly, if I didn't realize it, they're all locked. Like, they literally have giant padlocks on every single one of the doors. And there's a button there, and it says you got to ring the button, and then somebody will come over and help you. And so I rang it, and about eight or 9 minutes later, the guy comes, and they're packed, they're busy, and he goes, I'm really sorry for the delay, but what can I do? I said, well, I'm thirsty, and I'm parched, and I would like a Gatorade. And I said, why are the Gatorades behind locked doors? And he said, man, he said, the thugs around here are killing us. He said, if they didn't lock everything down in the drugstore, he said they would be cleaned out every day. I mean, is that really the type of country that we want to live in, ladies and gentlemen? Is that really the kind of country that you want your kids to grow up in, where you can't even go into a supermarket or a drugstore and grab something to drink or a candy bar and pay for it and be on your way? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us a man who wants to run for Congress. He's a Republican, and he's taken on Steve Cohen. He's that Tennessee congressman, the one who ate fried chicken and embarrassed the state up on the U.S. Capitol. Yeah, that's Steve Cohen. Well, Antoine Bohannon is with us right now. And Antoine, first of all, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
I am extremely honored. Thank you very much, sir.
So, you know, when you look at crime, and I know crime is a big issue here in New York City, San Francisco, where businesses are literally evacuating the city as we speak. And even in Memphis, Tennessee, I know it's a huge issue for people who would ultimately become your constituents if you're elected. I mean, what do you see as the solution to the crime issues in Memphis?
Well, one of the solutions I see is deck plate leadership. I'm a retired Navy chief. I did 21 years in submarines. And one thing that we have always preached to everyone is lead by example. until elected officials are actually out in the communities doing community programs, after-school functions, summer programs, building that emotional connection with their constituents, everyone will maintain to be in silos and not care about each other. So the solution is being consistently present and passionate with the people that you are responsible for, to be a servant leader to.
You know, I just don't get it, Antoine. The folks in Memphis are suffering, and yet election cycle after election cycle, they really, and people find this hard to believe, but maybe you can back me up here, or if I'm wrong, you just call me out on it. But it seems to me that you've got people in Memphis, and they vote on race and political party. That's it.
Yes, that's true. But now we're starting to examine how we actually do things post-pandemic. Like they say, the very definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Well, in our community, we have been voting Democrat for the last 50 years. And then I ask people, what has changed in your life? Has your income improved? Has your education improved? Has your community improved? Then if not, let's examine the possibility of change.
I'm curious what it was about the Republican Party that was attractive to you.
Well, the actual outreach of it. So when I was stationed in Millington, Tennessee in 2012, I started doing a lot of work in the community for veterans because I am a veteran myself. And I sent out an invitation to all the elected officials in the area because elderly veterans are really being neglected in our area. And only the Republicans showed up, which is actually crazy because I was initially approached, and one of my mentors was the great senator of Hawaii, Daniel Inouye. I had the pleasure of actually being around him all the time when I was stationed in Hawaii, but when I got to Tennessee, only the Republicans showed up. And that right there changed a lot for me, because a lot of people do a lot of talking, but very few people actually are out to work to make people's lives better.
No, I'm with you there, and it's exciting to see, at least in my hometown of Memphis, where we're watching a strong Black Republican Party beginning to take shape, and that to me is not only exciting, but I think it's going to set an example for the rest of the nation that, you know what, the policies of the Republican Party are good for all Americans.
Yes, that is true. It is the party of Lincoln. When you think about Frederick Douglass and the Underground Railroad and all the efforts that were taken up by the Republican Party to actually free African Americans out of slavery, getting them up into Canada, then you have to trace your history back, right? So this is why I tell people all the time, you have to examine who you vote for. What are your KPIs, key performance indicators? How has your life improved? How has your community improved? How has society improved? So therefore, we have to take a step back and really do a self-inventory on those we elect to represent us in D.C.
So what's been the response from folks there in the 9th Congressional District? Steve Cohen's been there a long time. He is a radical progressive Democrat. Are you gaining any ground? Are you able to convert anybody over to the Republican side?
Phenomenal response. I cannot really truly understand how things are taking place, but only God knows. When you have a heart to serve the people, as I did for 21 years in the United States Navy, people can see through the fakeness. So therefore, when I'm out in the community and I'm actually working, people are pleased to see that I'm actually there. And then when I tell them that I'm a Republican, their reaction is they're surprised. Because normally Republicans only show up during election time. This is not an election cycle, but I have a heart to serve the people, to put people in a position to succeed. And just by doing that work, Jesus said, love and kindness have I drawn thee. And then he told Peter, come with me, and I will make you fishermen of men. That's what we have to do as leaders. Show love and compassion and be present to hear people's problems. And then not only do that, put them in a position to succeed and take care of themselves.
I just love it. It's a great message. You've got a great campaign. And again, you're doing this in the off season, which I think is so important because you're making a true impact. JustMyMemphis.com, folks, if you'd like to get information on Antoine and his campaign, you want to give a contribution, JustMyMemphis.com. Antoine, we're going to get you back on, but we appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. And also, people can go to AntoineBohannonForCongress.com, and that will provide additional information about my life and what I'm here for.
All right. There you go. Antoine Bohannon, ladies and gentlemen, wants to beat Steve Cohen and become the first Republican black congressman from that area. And I think this is terrific. A lot of people don't realize that the black citizens of Memphis are by and large pretty conservative folks. I mean, they really are, especially on the culture issues. So if you can have somebody that will go in and someone who is authentic and is going to speak truth to the culture and will be a part of the culture and not, again, it's the Republicans. You know, Congressman Lee Zeldin came in and gave a speech in Memphis months ago, and he really made a great point. He says you can't just go into communities as Republicans during the campaign season and the campaign cycle. What you have to do is you have to become a part of the community. And that's been one of my messages whenever I go out and speak to Republican groups in my area. That it can't be just your neighborhood. It can't be just the suburbs. It has to be all of us because we're all in it together. And if we don't have that mindset, it's never going to work. So best of luck to Mr. Bohannon as he enters this campaign. And that's exciting to see. All right, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to go to the phones, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, every evening, Newsmax's powerful lineup, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Chris Plant, they give you the truth. I'm going to do that at 4 o'clock today. Now Newsmax needs you to vote in their new national poll. They're asking if the Trump indictment is legitimate or is it just a political act. So get out your smartphone right now and text the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747, and you can vote right away. Make sure your voice is heard. Newsmax, now America's fastest growing cable news channel. So tune in now for all the latest news on Trump and vote on the Trump indictment. Text Trump to 39747. We'll be right back. All right. Have you guys been following this story about the Titanic submarine? What a crazy story. So from what we understand, the Coast Guard is saying the folks have about 40 hours of breathable air left in this submersible. It's been missing for 2 days, 5 people on board. And the way it works, I guess you pay all of this money, you get on board the submarine, and they take you down, and you can see all the wreckage of the Titanic. And nobody can find the submarine. Nobody knows where it is. So the Coast Guard says they've already searched about 7,600 square miles of the North Atlantic Ocean. I was listening to KWAM, or the morning show, and one of the guys said it's kind of like finding a haystack in a haystack. You know, it's just impossible. Anyway, the submarine has 96 hours of oxygen on board, and nobody knows what happened. It was reported overdue Sunday night, about 400 and some odd miles from St. John's, Newfoundland. And nobody can find it. Nobody knows if it sank, if it is, if it popped up to the surface. We don't know. But what's interesting is that there's no way to get out. So the way this was described to me is that when they put them in the submersible, it's actually secured from the outside. So there's no way if you're inside. There's no way for you to get out. There is literally no way out. So they USA Today, they were talking to a professor of marine engineering, and they said basically these submersibles, so it's not an actual submarine, it's a submersible, and they have a drop weight, which they can release in case of an emergency. But something might have happened, and they said that, you know, otherwise, I mean, if that's the case, then it would have shot right up to the surface and it would be bobbing around. They also say there could have been a leak in the pressurized hull. If it's gone down to the seabed and can't get back up under its own power, the options are very limited. And anyway, it's just a horrible situation. And I can't even imagine. The worst case, I mean, can you imagine being stuck there knowing that you only have a certain number of hours of air left? And then it's all over. My goodness. Would you go and do something like that? I can't imagine spending all that money to go down and take a look at the wreckage of the Titanic. Ocean Gate Expeditions is the name of the place, and they've been doing this for a number of years. Now, the tourists, get this, tourists are paying as much as $250,000 to go down there. Among the people believed to be on board is a British businessman, a multimillionaire. His name is Hamish Harding, who lives in Dubai, and he was on board. He holds three Guinness World Records, including the longest duration at full ocean depth by a crewed vessel. All right. Well, good for you. I mean, I guess there's a market for this. Clearly, somebody's going to pay $250,000. And so if you got five people down there, and well, there you go. A CBS News correspondent, David Pogue, tweeted about his experience last year. He went down on the thing, and he said the submersible got lost for a few hours because there's no GPS underwater. And they said communications between the submersible and the surface ship broke down. Okay, I would kind of like to know that part before getting on board the submarine. So I'm not sure, does this thing have a Yelp page where you can go and check out the reviews? And wow, unbelievable. All right, well, and the question now is, what happens if they find it? How do they get to everybody? I mean, that's the big question is, is this a survivable event? Are they going to be able to pull the submersible? Can they haul it up from the depths of the ocean? By the way, they say the whole thing is basically controlled by a video game controller. That's out there is no way I would get on board something like that. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Yes, Dylan, I would have gotten on the Titanic because that's above the water. There's no need to go beneath the water, no need to go above the atmosphere. I'm very happy, very content on planet Earth, above ground, and above water for that matter. So I did see the Titanic movie, though, yeah. So, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, go figure. All right, coming up, our good friend Harry Hurley is going to step into the anchor chair. He will be handling the duties of the last hour. Congressman Matt Rosendale will be here. I'm heading over to Newsmax headquarters. I will see you on TV starting at 4 o'clock with Governor Mike Huckabee and Marsha Blackburn. Folks, we hope you hang out with us. Stick around, though. Hour 3 of the Todd Stern Show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Harry Hurley with Grace, Dylan, and Colin filling in this hour for the great Todd Starnes, who you know is having a very busy week here and on television. Well, I would begin with Hunter Biden, but I must put it in an order of decent priorities, and that certainly would be an opening comment about the five people aboard, and we hope they're still aboard, because when you lose track of someone, you figure about an hour and 45 minutes while you're making your descent. If you lose communication at that point, obviously it's not a good thing. Some people are suggesting that perhaps the hull was breached, and then that, of course, would be terrible. It would probably be en route to about 12,500 feet. It would probably be about 9 or 10,000 feet, which would be absolutely catastrophic if the hull were breached. It would end in, they say, in less than a second. It would just be over. The thing that many are also so concerned about is if they made it to the bottom and they had some other type of mechanical problem or got entangled in nets near the RMS Titanic, then you have a situation where they know they have a certain amount of air, and what a horrific, you can imagine, and these are a lot of experienced people and some passengers, but you can only imagine how scared you would be. Dark as night, thousands of feet down, almost the equivalent of feeling like you're in outer space. So we don't know if they're gone or if they're at the bottom, helpless, praying, and not able to communicate, which obviously is not a good sign. But if in best case scenario, they're caught in netting or something that's keeping, because even if a submarine like this has a catastrophic type mechanical failure, except for if the hull is breached. If the hull is breached, game is over. Just the pressure is too immense, and it's just not recoverable. It ends, and it ends instantly, very quick. But if it is just stuck, and they because even if it lost power, it has the ability to float to the top. I mean, they're these submersibles. This one is 21 feet, and they are an amazing thing. And this one had the 5-inch thick hull and very, very thick porthole windows, because obviously you want to be able to observe, so you want that type of capability. But at the same time, these are all stress points in something like this when you have so many pounds of pressure, and all that pressure is happening when the sub is making its way down. Once you get down, it's very unusual for there to be some type of hull breach. It happens on the way down because of the building pressure as you're making your way down to the bottom. So it goes to show you, and it reminded me a lot. I don't want to compare it yet, but it reminds me a bit, if not a lot. We'll wait for the final resolution, the conclusion of this. But it reminds me of the Challenger. We had gotten to the point where probably we were even complacent. The space shuttle Challenger. I vividly remember I made an appointment with myself because I love to watch these types of things. And it was a big deal. The first teacher, the first citizen. We had gotten to the point where I do believe, and it's a bad word to use in this type of business, not the radio business, but the or communication spoken word format business, but in the NASA, if you will, business. And that is ever getting complacent, because there are just so many things that can go wrong. And a very inexpensive O-ring, cold conditions, had it been warmer, it wouldn't have happened. I mean, just so many things, perfect storm type thing. And they're gone, the whole crew, including teacher Krista McCullough. And then that kind of put on hold citizens in space. Now we're to the point where this was $250,000 per guest, if you will, turning it into recreational pleasure. And look, I'm a huge Titanic fan. I would love the concept. I wouldn't take them up on it. If somebody said, hey, you don't have to pay the $250,000 and we'll take you down there, I was talking about it earlier today, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. Just usually everything goes right, but too many things can go wrong. So I love the Titanic. I would love to see the Titanic in this current state, in real time, looking out, being right there where history in 1912 took place. The other challenge is the last communication, they were about 900 miles, I guess, from Cape Cod, if I remember correctly. This is all extemporaneous opening monologue. If that's where they were, the currents in this type of thing, they're different on the surface than they are towards the middle, and they're even different still on the bottom. To even try to calculate where they are, again, if it has not imploded. You know, it'd be one thing if they lost power, they're communicating by radio, they would be calmer. Because the other thing, when you hear, and the last briefing was just a little bit ago, about last hour, if they tell you there's maybe 40 hours worth of air, that's under ideal conditions. That's not if someone's hurt, if everyone is completely, and you could imagine, try to even put yourself in this position. And it would just be impossible to be calm. So their heart rates are up. They're consuming more oxygen. So, I mean, I don't want to be a downer here on the Todd Starnes Show with Grace, Dylan, and Colin, but I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind when you can't. And again, maybe something mechanical that knocked out the communication, and everybody could be sitting right now. I'll tell you one other scenario. I don't know how likely this is, that they popped up somewhere and we just haven't found them yet, and they don't have communication, and that they're going to be found. That would be the optimal. So that's optimal if they popped up, because then oxygen would not be a problem. I would think optimal scenario number two would be on the bottom, perhaps caught in netting, something keeping them from being able to come up. And then you would hope that one of the other submersibles that have the different arms, and, you know, they drive these things down with video controllers. I mean, you've probably seen this type of technology. So that would be great if they could cut them free, and then they can come up to the surface and everybody survives, and it would be an amazing miracle. I'm not going to say, because I don't want to, I just want to pray, and I want to keep, hope is not a strategy, but I want to keep hope alive. So I'm not going to tell you my leaning lead scenario is not a positive one. But I try to dismiss that. You know, while they do have, we don't know if it's 40 hours. They say it is, but I'm of the belief they're hyperventilating. They're nervous. Any type of condition that's less than ideal, you're going to consume more oxygen. So I don't think they have 40 hours. I'm not qualified to say to what degree they're depleting it, that it would be half that time, three quarters that time. I don't know. And again, we don't even know if the five are still alive. And there's some very important people. One of them was in Atlantic City a number of years ago. My brother met one of the people and spoke with one of the people on the sub. And very interesting Titanic uber expert, I mean, a terrific, terrific man. And I think he's on there possibly with his son. Definitely someone is on there with their son, the guests that are on board. You become crew once you're on, but there's basically four tourists and one experienced person on the submersible, the way that I gather it. And we're pretty much finding out the five people because people and their family are saying they're on the sub. So five seems to be the number. Where they are right now, we don't know. Exactly how much oxygen they have left, we don't know. And they don't know where they are. They're taking the last radio coordinates, and they're trying to figure out with the tides and the ocean currents where they might be. Because obviously, if they're still alive, finding them with as much time as possible, because keep in mind, they still have to make it. It's not like you find them at the bottom and you pump in oxygen or something, I mean, they've got to be able to get them to the top. So they need enough oxygen to be able to make the trip back up. And that trip, I believe, I don't know what it would be if they had to just, through gravity, pop back up. I think it's a couple hours. They were about an hour and a half into it, and they probably had somewhere between 3,000, maybe 3,500 feet still to go when we last heard from them. So that's pretty much all that I know. I don't think I know any more than you know about it. But I would ask everybody in the Todd Starnes universe, I know this program believes in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. We have put prayer chains in effect. They do amazing things. So I would ask everyone listening to Todd's program, join me in prayer that they can be found. Because keep in mind, this is search and rescue right now. This is not search and recovery. The God's healing hands can be placed on this whole bubble, if you will. And the key is finding them. If you find them, then you have a fighter's chance. You know, at one point I was hearing people say, hey, even if we find them, there's no way to bring them up. Well, I didn't understand that. What do you mean by that? I mean, you can't somehow hook onto them, and other submersibles exist if you have to fly them there to get them there. You get them there. So I'm of the belief if you find them with X number of hours of oxygen still left, that you have a fighter's chance. Why not? So we will see what happens. And it was last heard from during their descent 900 miles east of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And both United States and Canadian authorities have confirmed that last point. What we'll do, and we have an important guest coming up after the bottom of the hour break, United States Congressman Matt Rosendale of the great state of Montana, because keep in mind, if you don't think there was home cooking, you don't investigate somebody for five and a half years, and they come out of this thing with a 2 misdemeanor plea deal and basically dismissal of felony gun charges. So this side of your name not being Biden, I don't think any type of deal. And look at this judge. This judge wants Trump in the courtroom by like August 18th. I mean, are you kidding? He has so many issues that he has to appeal in this case, including that Jack Smith went to Washington before he moved it to Miami, Florida, the case, and actually got a judge to demand that a Trump attorney appear before a grand jury and reveal attorney-client privilege. I mean, that is completely against everything that is America. Again, unless your name is Trump. So if you're Trump, your attorney has to rat on you. That's never happened before. And if you're Biden, you get this kind of beautiful deal that we will lay out to you next. We'll be right back with Grace, Dylan, and Colin. I'm Harry. This is the Todd Starnes Show. We are back. This is the Todd Starnes Show with Grace, Dylan, and Colin. I'm Harry Hurley, filling in this hour for Todd, who will be back tomorrow. So you know where I'm going now, because I know you have those kind of spidey senses. I'm going straight in on this incredible sweetheart deal, more than 5 years in the making. Quick comment on the matter, and then we're going to hear a pithy but very relevant comment from one of the absolute best in this space, and that is Jonathan Turley, who is just fantastic at what he does. He is just so good. And I haven't heard the full comment, but I could almost predict what he would say. Can you imagine investigating the president's son? This started before he was president. The president's son, over 5 years ago, He paid back, although somebody else paid the money, $2 million. Now there's another $1.2 million that's part of this plea deal. And then, oh, by the way, they won't even be serious tax charges. They'll just be tax misdemeanors. Nothing felonious, because your last name is Biden. And I'll tell you what, I don't usually get indignant, and I always respect other people's opinions. But Colin was just telling me about an NBC person saying, literally after he's pled guilty. Now, it's a tentative deal, but he's agreeing to plead guilty to committing crimes, and the Biden media, Democrat media echo chamber defense system just says he did nothing wrong. Does anybody have a problem with Joe Biden? While you think about it, he always says he doesn't have his thumb on the scale. He never talks to anyone. He never gets involved. He's a father, but doesn't even know what his son does. Never, ever talk to my son. If you have a child in Todd's audience right now and you're a parent, you know exactly what your children do for a living. And you've talked to your children about what they do. But we're supposed to believe Joe Biden, this congenital liar, who is saying he's never talked to his son about his business dealings. Then guess what? You're a bad dad. You stink at being a dad. What kind of father says something like that? In my opinion, a corrupt, guilty one that's neck deep in all of it. And he is the big guy. And this Biden cash that gets transferred through all of these shadowy limited liability corporation accounts. One of the witnesses reportedly has said that they have so many of these LLCs that it would take 10 years. It's like the Clinton Global Initiative. They have so many LLCs and they move it through so many different accounts that it's very challenging to even keep up with what it is. Let's listen to Jonathan Turley. He's always smart. Colin, that's cut 10.
So this plea deal does have all the makings of an avoidance of any jail time. But more importantly, it was an evasion of the more serious allegations facing Hunter Biden and the Biden family. So it is historic in the sense that the president's son is going to plead guilty to criminal acts.
From Jonathan Turley right after the break. We have a hard break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Much more important content, because this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show with Grace, Dylan, and Colin. I'm Harry, filling in for Todd, who will be back tomorrow on the Todd Starn's Newsmaker Hotline. Is a distinguished member of the People's House, United States Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana. He is on the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Technology Modernization and on the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. We're going to be talking about that, I'm sure. House Committee on Natural Resources, Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources, and Subcommittee on, as I mentioned, the Oversight and Investigations. Congressman Rosendale, welcome to the Todd Starn Show.
Thanks, Harry. Good to be with you today.
Great to be with you. You're a great American, and Todd's audience already knows that. I know you have 10 minutes. We're going to make it count. We'll break it down into two topics. Fresh in the news, I'm sure you have a take on it. I'll tell you briefly, I think it's an abomination that a more than five-year investigation of the president's son ends with two misdemeanors and a get-out-of-jail-free on what should be multiple gun felonies. You talk about, Congressman Rosendale, home cooking. Meanwhile, the former president of the United States, my former boss, President Trump, is getting the hammer dropped on him. It is true, Congressman. We have a two-tiered justice system. There's simply no denying it anymore.
No, there isn't. And I'll be honest with you, while the charges and the penalties that Biden has received today seem very, very minimal, I'll be honest with you, Harry. I'm surprised they charged him with anything. I really felt like this thing was going to be completely ignored.
Well, if you like my theory. Here's my working theory, Congressman Rosendale. They do this with Hunter. They make it seem like he got found guilty of something. You know his father's going to pardon him either right after the election or before he leaves. He's going to pardon his son. And I think anybody listening would pardon their son as well. But that's going to happen. And this way they can say, look, our system is fair. It's the greatest system in the history of the world. And this gives them an excuse to really drop the hammer on President Trump. I think this is Machiavellian. I agree with you on one hand, if you have the power to completely whitewash something. But I believe that in the atmosphere of President Biden's reelection and prosecuting your leading challenger, I don't think it was tenable for nothing to happen. So I think they gave him.
I don't believe you've dug deep enough. Okay.
Right, go ahead.
I think what has happened is that now, as they continue to, as Congress does, and Jamie Comer continues to do their research on the illicit activities that have been working within the entire Biden family, I think what is going to happen now is, as the Biden family is going to use this as their wedge to say, you know something, that's already been looked into. We really are not going to show up and discuss any more of this with you. That's all been looked into over the last several years. The money that I received, where it was going, how it was distributed, that's already been looked at. Sorry. So while I don't disagree with you, I don't think you took it out to the next level to recognize just how corrupt they are.
Oh, I agree.
To what extent they're going to go to try and hide it all.
On point, Congressman Rosendale, but let me go even further than that. I think part of this gambit might be that he is pleading to these items to end everything, and they won't even allow anything else to ever come up. They'll end it all.
That's what I'm talking about.
Then I'm with you all the way. We're on this exact same wavelength, because that's where I was going, that this would allow them to crush President Trump if they can. Look how his trial, whoever heard of such a thing, he got handed this 37-count indictment, and they're saying the trial begins. This is like a Stasi star chamber thing. You start on it's almost July. They're telling him his trial starts in August. I mean, this is incredible, Congressman.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and speaking of star chambers, I'm hoping our next subject is the Soviet-type tactics that the IRS used to raid a gun store up in Montana last week.
Oh, you know the Todd Starnes show well, Congressman Rosendale. That's exactly where we're going. And I'm going to play off your recent tweet where Congressman Rosendale writes, "The weaponization of our government must be stopped." Couldn't agree more. "Which is why I sent a letter to ATF Director Dietelbach and our IRS Commissioner Werfel demanding answers about this outrageous attack, and have used every tool available to me to remove the funding for the 87,000 additional IRS agents." There is one of the most consequential two-page letters that you will ever read. I urge you to go to @RepRosendale, RosenDale, @RepRosendale on Twitter. The two-page letter is there. Now let me turn it over to you. Tell us about it.
So the gentleman that owns this store, Tom Van Hoos, I stopped by the store on Friday. They conducted the raid on Wednesday. I was still in D.C., obviously. And I stopped by his store, and he said that when he arrived on Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., 20 IRS agents armed with ARs. Why do we have, the collection agency for the federal government, the IRS, armed like law enforcement with ARs, and 20 of them and one ATF agent? And they said, "Your store will be closed down today." They chased away all his customers, walked in, started going through his records. And here's what bothers me as much as the fact that 20 armed IRS agents showed up. The only thing that they took, were a couple of files in regards to his taxes. And then they took every single one of the 4473. Anybody who's bought a firearm understands that's nothing more than a disclosure form to make sure that you're not a felon, that you haven't committed crimes. Has nothing to do with the type of firearm that you bought, purchased, or the value of that firearm. So it has nothing to do with any kind of monetary consideration or value or tax obligation whatsoever, and the IRS took every single one of those. Unfortunately, the rules are set up now so that these gun shops have to maintain those records in perpetuity as long as they have the store, which is another reason that we need to make some changes in the law. We're looking right now in how to do that. And they took those records, and now instead of having the ability to look into the gentleman's finances, and I can't sit here and say whether he's paid his taxes, not paid his taxes, but I can tell you one thing: the 4473 forms have nothing to do with his tax liability,
right,
or obligations, or whether he did or did not pay any type of taxes. But it does give the IRS the ability to create the same thing that we've all been complaining about for many, many years, which is a list to know who around this country has purchased a firearm.
You know, when you look at these things, Congressman Rosendale, whether it's Matt Taibbi, the journalist that has this bizarre IRS appearance at his home right around the time that he is testifying, very, very peculiar. You have that going on. And now you have things like this. This really is intimidation stuff. And I know the answer is you have to win the House back again in 2024. Republicans have to win the Senate control back majority in 2024. And a Republican president, I'm hoping President Trump, has to become president, because what they are doing right now in this country is absolutely just never before seen in our country's history. It's a weaponization that should scare every American, Congressman.
It should scare every single American. Absolutely. These, again, are Soviet-style tactics to intimidate and to silence and to crush the general population.
Whew. Unbelievable. I know you've got to go. Let me ask you for a closing comment, Congressman Rosendale, before you have to leave.
As Winston Churchill said, at the depths of the World War II, when all of the of London was being bombed and people were hiding out in the subways for protection, and I will paraphrase, that we are going to fight in the streets, we're going to fight on the beaches, on the sea, in the skies, and we shall not surrender.
Congressman, you're a great American. Thank you for the time today. I know you're jumping fast to your next appointment. Be well, and thanks again.
Thank you, Harry, and thanks to all your listeners.
You know it. That is Congressman Matt Rosendale from the great state of Montana. Keep in mind, when you're the congressman and somebody that we know quite well, Ryan Zinke, who I think is going to be the senator, he was the congressman before he went to the Trump cabinet. When you're the congressman from Montana, you're like a senator. You're one. You're one of one. It's not like you take the state of New Jersey, when I think there's 12, used to be 13. New Jersey lost one, and you have states like California and others with dozens. You're one of one in the great state of Montana. Very significant position. Very important position. We will be right back. Please don't go away. Much more important content straight ahead, because this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. My name is Harry Hurley, longtime friend of Todd's. Todd Starn's, as you know, one of the most important, one of the most 100, and he's way up there on the list, most important radio talk show hosts in America for obviously many, many years, and the great job that this whole team has done at KWAM. What a wonderful example of live and local radio, the way that it's supposed to be, touching the local level, serving your community, and Todd, of course, doing such an amazing job as a nationally syndicated talk show host. So it's an honor to fill in this hour for Todd, who will be back tomorrow. I'm with Grace, Dylan, and Colin, so you know I'm in great hands. I want to spend the last few minutes of the hour telling you a little bit about sort of not just, I don't want to get into the weeds, but I want to tell you a little bit about how this trial is going to go. And I think a lot of people thought that this would not even happen before the 2024 election. I mean, by comparison, Hunter Biden 5+ years for this nothing burger stuff. Two misdemeanors and no charge at all, because they can't charge him a misdemeanor because it's a felony. So it's like, hey, if you stay clean for 2 years, then you won't get charged with the gun felonies. This is unbelievable what's happening. Meanwhile, Judge Aileen Cannon, it's like somebody shot her out of a rocket cannon or something. I couldn't believe my ears when she said this trial is going to begin on August 14th. Even Donald Trump hater Chris Christie said he didn't see it happening before the end of the year. A lot of people didn't see it happening before the election because there's so many issues. Now, I'm not a betting man, but I'd lay odds. There's no trial on August 14th. President Trump has so many things that he can appeal, including the Washington judge who demanded that his attorney testify before the grand jury in Washington. And note, and I think he's a bad guy, and he's got a bad record with Governor McDonnell, with Senator Menendez. Bad track record, this guy. The Supreme Court overturned him for his abusiveness. Didn't turn over exculpatory evidence to Bob McDonnell, former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I could go on and on, but there's not time. This is a bad guy. So he got what he wanted in Washington. Then he knew he couldn't file the charges there because everything they're alleging took place in Florida. So then he moved it to Miami, the most liberal place he could find. And we're supposed to believe that, you know, the idea of the special counsel is to seek justice. It is not just to prosecute. This is disgraceful. And we can see on the same day how Hunter Biden is treated with care, kid gloves, compassion, sweetheart deal, and the way they're dropping the hammer on President Trump. So Judge Cannon has blocked off 2 weeks. I don't think this is a 2-week trial at all. They're saying, oh, it could be longer, it could be shorter. I don't think it's shorter, and that it could even be continued to a later date, which I will almost guarantee you is going to be the case. Now, how did she get the case? People wonder that. How did she get it? She got the case because there were 7 eligible judges in what's called the United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida. And she was assigned to preside over the case through the court's computerized system. In the old days, they would put names and spin them or whatever, roll whatever to make it, a choice that way in a lottery. Now it's computerized. And people went crazy. The hard left went bananas because obviously Judge Cannon was nominated by President Trump. Well, I will tell you this. She doesn't seem like she's doing him any favors. And perhaps she knows she wants to be on the bench for a nice long career. So who knows how this is going to be handled. But I think to say that this trial starts on August 14th was an absolute abomination. And on the same day that Hunter Biden gets one of the greatest, we don't have time to go all through the charges, but millions in unpaid taxes, 2 misdemeanors. Unbelievable. And guess what? No gun felony. You have so many things there. They threw the gun in a dumpster. The Secret Service pulled it out of a dumpster, covered up. This is just a terrible family, and they've done terrible things, and it's all going to come out. I'm absolutely convinced that it ultimately all will come out. You got to give, and Congressman Rosendale mentioned him, you've got to give the Oversight Committee Chair Comer a lot of credit, because he has been dogged in his pursuit. And they remember, if you don't know, it's not remember, you'd be hearing it for the first time. The FBI wouldn't give this Biden document, where it is alleged that the Bidens took millions in bribes, wouldn't give it up, acted like it didn't exist. And then they said, we can't give it to you. You're not in the majority. And the IRS was behaving like that, too. You can't have it. You're not in the majority. What is that? What rule is that? You have to be in the majority. Then they win the majority. And we can't give it to you now because of this and that and the other. So it's bad stuff. The system is two-tiered. There's no denying it anymore. It's dangerous. They go after and they think about, they had the former Trump financial aid, economic aid. His name escapes me at the moment of truth. they grab him. His office was right across the street. And so was the FBI's office right across the street from the airport. They grab him. They put him in leg irons. Completely nonviolent person who's not a criminal at all. They grab him. You have the incredible weaponized no-knock raid on my friend Roger Stone. You have the no-knock raid on Paul Manafort. They get Paul Manafort on stuff that Hunter Biden appears to have done. No problem. He's not registered as a foreign lobbyist. Seems to be no problem there. Isn't that something? But a big problem for Paul Manafort. Then President Trump pardoned Paul Manafort because Paul Manafort, his only crime was he was a Trump loyalist. Because you can see the way they treat people they want to take care of. So what do? They find a way to charge Manafort with the same stuff at the state level. I made a comment a long, long time ago before any of this started, after the election of 2020. I said that President Trump will be in courtrooms and getting charged criminally for the rest of his life. I meant it then. It's in real play now. No question about it that this is happening. So that's who has the case. Judge Eileen Cannon doesn't seem to be doing any favors for President Trump. And we'll just continue to cover this. And I know that Todd has been doing a great job with it. Thank you to Todd, to Grace, Dylan, and Colin for the opportunity to fill in this hour. And we'll catch you another time, I'm sure.